Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning. Beloved in Christ, clergy, and the believers. Again, one more time, we gather in this holy community, in this magnificent building, to praise God, to thank Him for all the gifts bestowed on every one of us. This morning I greet all of you, beloved in Christ. And I pray to Almighty God to continue watching over you, granting you His peace, love, and all the gifts, the earthly ones and the heavenly ones. I decided to come here on this day because I have been to this holy community for a while. As I promised that once a month I have to be here in this holy community. But it seems that the summer was very busy for me and for everyone, and I hope and I pray that you had a good, peaceful summer. Now back to school. Our children almost back to school. I pray for the parents, and I pray for all the children who are starting the school, who have a fruitful, serious academic year. And I pray especially for the safety of the children. You know, these days even schools are not immune, are not safe enough. We hear about every corruption taking place, every evil taking place at schools. Whether they are learning or not, I can't judge. So I have to listen to some parents to tell me more stories than what I hear. We hear about school shooting. We hear about other things happening in the school. So that's why our children deserve all of us to pray for them and for their safety. Today, beloved in Christ, I would love to repeat myself what I said last Sunday in Lanesbury. Do you know where Lanesbury is? Lanesbury in Idaho, but at the border with Canada. So I was there, and they asked me to elaborate and illustrate on this topic, and I will repeat myself without having it, you know, written. The question was, why do we have the same divine liturgy since the fourth century until this moment? Why don't we invent something new? Why don't we try to ask God to give us a different gift than the divine liturgy? So all these things, you know, came in one question. And my answer was, For God is the same yesterday and today and forever.
The same.
God is not a philosophy to change every other day. God is not a notion. God is not a term. God is not an object. But God is love. God is the King of all. God is the master of everything. He is the creator. He is the savior. And he is the engineer of this universe. So God cannot change. We have to change. We must to change. Yesterday, for example, I was a different person than today. And the answer came, last Saturday I served the Mobile Liturgy in that area. 24 hours later, I served the same Divine Liturgy. Was it the same? Of course not. Even within 24 hours, we have many changes. And those who cannot change, it means that they are dead. It means that they cannot improve. So that's why when they cannot improve, they see everything dark, and they see everything wrong, and they see everything imperfect or incomplete. Beloved in Christ, when we gather in the church, we don't think of the century. We don't think of human time. We don't think of anything earthly. When we use earthly words, but we refer back to divine and to heaven. So our mind is in heaven. Our mind is in eternity. Our thinking is about heaven. So that's why in the church, beloved in Christ, we don't have to think this way. So the moment we walk into the church will lead us into eternity. So that's why we say, Lord, have mercy. That's why we say, God, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us. The disciples, you know, at that time, they wanted those loud voices to shut up. And Jesus said to them, let them cry, let them shout, let them be loud. Son of David, give me my sight back. So we're talking to a real person. We're talking to a real Holy Father, Heavenly Father. In the church, you don't have to have your eyes on the bishop or the priest or what. Let your mind affirm. Let your mind go on Mount of Tabor, where they thought that they were out of this universe. And God wants us to be in His glory, wants us to be in His kingdom. God wants everyone to be saved. But we have to do something. We have to do a homework. We cannot do that without repentance. We cannot do that without change, serious change. From inside, outside, if you like.
most of the time we do changes outside.
That won't be enough.
So when we fast in the church, and we just finished the Holy Dormition fast, so every time we have a different kind of fast, but the same objective, the same goal, that goal is the purification of mind, soul, and body. That's why in the Orthodox Church, beloved in Christ, we have outcomes now. Just not because we love to decorate the church.
No, of course not.
Because every item has a different spiritual history. Every item has a different experience. Every item tells us how to be saved. The Holy Virgin, for example, loves a human being like us. Any of the saints love a human like us. But with the grace of God and with the Holy Spirit, they became the way they are.
Beloved in Christ, even the bishop. Even the bishop, even the priest, if the bishop is not present, he cannot go into the altar for flowers.
If he has to do some work, some cleaning, he goes after he venerates the altar, the door, the side door, and he goes inside the altar and he makes a big prostration before the holy table. That is if he is not doing any prayer. Now, if the priest, without the bishop's presence, if the priest has to do the divine liturgy or any service, he has to take a permission. A permission from who? Well, the way I did it this morning, and I did it loud. In some churches, you know, like they do it for quietly. And while they are singing, you know, preserve, oh God, our Holy Master, and everything, all the prayers, you know, are done quietly. But I decided in my diocese to do it loud in order to share it with everyone and to make people hear what I am saying. Look what I said. After Holy God and our Heavenly King, I said these prayers. Have mercy on us, O Lord, have mercy on us, for laying aside all the times we sinners offer unto thee as Master this supplication, and have mercy on us. This is the first, you know, like thing. The second thing is, the Lord have mercy on us, for in thee have we put our trust. Be not exceedingly wroth with us. Not be angry at our sins. Be not exceedingly wroth with us. No longer our iniquities, but look down upon us even now, because thou art compassionate. And deliver us from our enemies.
What enemies?
We don't mean any nation. We don't mean any people. We don't mean any specific human being. Our iniquities mean our sins. The only enemy which against us is our sin. So that's why we are not here, first and foremost. We do everything we can to cure and to heal from that sin. So thou art our God, and we are thy people. We are all the Lord of thy hands, and we call upon thy name. and the last one, when we shut the doors here, we see the icon of the Annunciation. We see the icon of the Annunciation, Eid Bishara. We see the Holy Virgin and the Archangel. And we read this door open unto us. At that time they opened the door. It says, open unto us the door of thy compassion. We don't mean a wood or a material door. Open unto us the door of thy compassion, O blessed Theotokos. As we set our heart in thee, we will not confound what we will not be confounded. Through whom may we be delivered from all adversities, for thou art the salvation of our Christians. So these are the beautiful prayers in the beginning, and then I move with the deacons around me, saying the prayers, read as the narrate, the icon of our Lord, and then the Holy Theotokos, then the forerunner, and then the patron saint of the church. Who other, Saint Andrew or any other? But the three icons are the same everywhere. Now, the last prayer is the most important thing. I said the priest or the bishop has to have a special permission to go into the altar to serve. Look what it says. I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy worship. As I said before, we keep repeating, Lord have mercy. I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear, only one kind of fear we have, that is the fear of God. You know, human fear, earthly fear doesn't make any difference. But the fear of God is therapeutic. And in thy fear, I will worship toward thy holy temple. How shall I, the unworthy, dare to enter into the brilliance of thy holy place? I'm not coming here just like to say hi and to gather like a social and everything. Here we are coming to experience the brilliance of thy holy place. If I venture to enter into the bridal chamber, my garment will denounce me, but it is not a wedding garment. And I shall be cast out, bound by the angels. Cleanse, O Lord, the defilement of my soul, and save me, for thou art the lover of mankind. Do you remember St. Mary of Egypt when she tried to enter into the church of the Holy Resurrection in Jerusalem before her repentance? What happened to her? She felt that as if the power pushing her back. And that power didn't let her into the church until she repented. Do you remember that? And after her repentance, nothing mattered. She left the beauty. She left the earthly treasures. She left everything and she said goodbye once and for all. And she never returned back. Because the moment, and this is the whole point, the moment we experience the beauty of heaven, we don't look back anymore. Beloved in Christ, this is the divine liturgy. Before we So it is from the 4th century or from the 4th century or from this or from that, and we give ourselves many excuses. Let us focus on the beauty of the kingdom of God in our life. This is the church beloved in Christ. If you ask me to give you any other definition of the church, I don't have. This is the only definition I give you. To experience what the apostles and what the prophets and Mount of Tabor experienced. They experienced His glory in their lives. But you know what? We cannot get to that point without a genuine and real change in our life. We cannot get to that point without a real and serious and godly improvement in our life. So the church is to help us. The church is to guide us. The church is to lead us into that ministry. I call it a ministry because it has to continue to happen daily, every day. You know, it's good after church to celebrate 25th anniversary, to celebrate, you know, like victory of this nation or that, or, but the most important thing, we become victorious when we become victorious over our sins, our limitations, our weaknesses, our mechanisms, our this and that and that and that before repentance. We are serious in the church, beloved in Christ. We are serious. We don't have time to talk. You know, I see some places, not from the angel, but I see some places, you know, they have no clue what's happening. I feel sorry, you know, like I give some teaching. I give some direction. But they don't have that humility to accept it. So they feel that as if you are forcing them to do something. In the church, our mind is up. You know, in Orthodox, there is one word after we read the Antiphona in the beginning. We have some word in Greek called anabasmi. Anabasmi means like as if we have a ladder, a stats, a stairs. And obviously means we have to ascend. So little by little, authors will lead us to ascend to something higher. And this higher thing is to prepare ourselves to hear the word of God and to prepare ourselves with repentance to receive communion. And that is a new page and a new history and a new moment in our life. So when we receive communion, it means that we unite ourselves to Him. When we receive our communion, we cannot go back, you know, like here and there, and do the same ugly things and evil things. In the church, we do this. In the church, we heal every situation. In the church, we pray for every situation, whether social, marital, political, and you name it. So let us look at the church like this. The church, beloved in Christ, is not like just a bunch of people. The church is the nation of God. God's nation. God's people, God's family. So they come here to thank Him. They come here to say, to praise His holy name and to start a new start. Let us do it with forgiveness. Let us do it with thanksgiving. Let us do it with a big hope that God is in our presence, or we are in the presence of God. The church is the mother. She's the mother of all of us. Let us get from the church, from this mother, all the nourishment we need. And let us take it with us to stay at our homes and to stay in everywhere in this nation. I pray for you, beloved in Christ, to have this kind of mind, whether from the 4th century, or from the 5th, or from the 10th, doesn't make any difference. God is yesterday, and today, and forever the same. He is not going to change. We have to change. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord, for this book.